Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. Reading today from a book entitled The Christian in Complete Armor by William Gurnall. He was the English Bible scholar and pastor who died in 1679. We're studying how the Christian expresses the power of holiness or righteousness in his behavior toward others. Number one, the power of holiness within the family. It does not do any good to talk about holiness if we do not have the practical testimony of godliness within the family God has set us in. It is sad when the people who know us best cannot see holiness in our lives. Few people are shameless enough to walk out into the street naked. If they have anything to cover themselves with, it will certainly be put on before they go outside. But what kind of person are you inside your own home? A negligent husband spends money freely in public but fails to provide for his family. Can the man, then, be a good Christian if he spreads his spiritual strength all over the country but allows little or nothing of God to flow from him to his family? Some well-known men who enjoy a dynamic reputation in Christendom fall short of unbelievers who take care of their children and wives in kind, practical ways. What sort of Christian can the man be when he acts like a tyrant and so embitters his wife's spirit that she covers the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, as in Malachi 2:13? Many wives who are far from having a work of true grace in their hearts are obedient to their husbands. But is it possible for a Christian wife to walk in holiness if she jars the whole house with her subtle selfishness and explosive temper? The authority of a natural conscience restrains servants from railing out with angry language against their masters. Is not grace able to keep pace with nature? David knew how close this Christian responsibility was to the heart of godliness when he proposed, "I will walk within my house with a perfect heart." That's Psalm 101, verse 2. But let me mention four specific facets of this power of holiness as it appears in family relations. A, choosing our authorities. Sometimes we have no choice about our relationships. A child cannot select his own father or the parent his son. But when God does allow us freedom to choose, he expects a wise choice every time. Number one, we select spiritual masters. Be careful to show your holiness in the authority you put yourself under. First, find out if the air inside the doors is as healthful for your soul as it is for your body outside. Will you voluntarily submit to ungodly men? It is hard enough to serve two masters, even when both have similar personalities, but it is impossible to serve a holy God and an ungodly man and please them both. If you're already under the roof of wicked authorities, though, do not forget your responsibility to them, even if they forget about God altogether. Your faithfulness might cause them to seek God for your sake, as Nebuchadnezzar did for Daniel's. And besides, sinners would undoubtedly take the way of God more seriously if there were more beauty upon Christians' lives to invite them into the kingdom. We are more likely to choose a book if the print is attractive and clear, and to ignore one with dull or tiny lettering. How often do employers throw away all thoughts of Christianity because their Christian employees turn in performances of pride and carelessness? The natural conclusion inevitably follows. Is this what comes of your belief? Well, God keep me from such a religion. Christian, your blameless behavior is the best way for ungodly or carnal employers to see the ways of God. But let me add a practical suggestion. Maybe you are doing everything you can to bring God's truth into that place, but the soil is so hard and cold that there is no visible hope of planting for him there, then it is high time to think about transplanting yourself, for if the field is too bad for you to sow Christianity in, it cannot be very good for you to grow in either. Secondly, select spiritual servants. When you hire an employee, choose for God as well as for yourself. How can he fit in with your plans if he does not fit in with God's? Of course, you want his work to be successful, but on what ground can you anchor that hope if the hand that does your labor insists on sinning as he performs it? A high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin, Proverbs 21:4. A godly servant, however, is a great blessing. He can work hard and then seek God to work for your good also. O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master. Genesis 24:12. Surely this prayer helped Abraham as much as the servant's good judgment did. If you were to plant an orchard, you would find the best quality fruit trees instead of wasting your acres cultivating thistles. And there's far more loss in a graceless person in your employ than a fruitless tree in the orchard. While David was at Saul's court, for example, he saw the disadvantage of having ungodly servants. No doubt, his recognition of evil in a disordered house made him determined to have the highest standards when God would make him head of that royal family. Psalm 101:7 says, "He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight." Thirdly, select a godly mate. There is no one area wherein Christians, even those recorded in Scripture, have betrayed their weakness more often than in choosing ungodly husbands or wives. Genesis 6:2, "The sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair." You would think the sons of God would have looked for grace in the heart rather than for beauty in the face. But even they are quite capable of being turned aside by a pretty outward appearance without first looking into the person's spirit. Remember, though, that God did not leave the mistakes of his chosen ones on record to be followed but to be shunned. Only a simple-minded man swallows every experience of Scripture's saints. It is true that wicked men break their necks over the sins of saints. But do you want to stumble over them and break your legs? Do not look around and point to a godly woman, one whom you think God is using, and assume it was all right for her to marry into a heathen family and lie with a profane man. Instead, look all the way up to God's standard if you want to keep the power of holiness. It is as clear as a sunbeam written in the Word, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?" Even when God gives the widow permission to marry again, he adds this crucial condition, "to whom she will, only in the Lord," 1 Corinthians 7:39. Anyone without faith is without God in the world, because the Lord's family is in the church. You marry out of the Lord when you marry out of his kindred. Or "in the Lord" might be taken to mean with God's blessing. We all agree that parental consent is important, but what about your Heavenly Father? Will he ever give his consent for you to give yourself to an earthworm? Through the ages, holy men have paid a precious price for ungodly unions. What a horrible plague Delilah was to Samson. And neither did Michael or Michal help David. It would have been better if he had married the poorest girl in all Israel, with nothing more than the clothes on her back, rather than such an arrogant companion who mocked him for celebrating God's faithfulness. And then, B, interceding for our family. A Christian cannot pass God's grace onto his child or join his wife to his own holiness. But he must do all he can to draw them to the Father. God commanded that Abraham's entire household be circumcised so that they could be moved that much closer to the desire of his heart for them. Grace turns love for our family into a spiritual channel and makes us pray for and work for their eternal good. What sets the Christian's love above the world's love? Do not the heathen lay up an inheritance for their children? Do they not take care of their employees as well as others do? Well, our love must go further. Augustine complained when his friends highly commended his father's diligence to educate him. Yes, but my father did not train me up for God. His project was that I might be eloquent, an orator, not a Christian. My brothers, if God is worth everything to you, is he not worth your family's knowing him too? One house holds you now. Do you not want one heaven to hold you together for eternity? Can you think without trembling what grief you would feel if those who dwell together in your family should be broken up by death, with some of your children going to heaven and the rest of them going to hell? By the law of Lycurgus, the father who failed to provide education for his child when he was young had to forfeit his right to the help due him from his child in his old age. I will not comment on the righteousness of that law, but I will say this. Those who do not teach their children the rightful relationship to God lose the reverence and honor which should be paid them by their children. We're going to stop right there. We're talking about behavior toward others. We're talking about the power of holiness within the family. And then he subdivides that several ways, choosing our authorities, interceding for our family, we just read, and next time, freeing ourselves from snares. Thank you again for being here today. And do come back. And before you come back, why don't you look around the site and see what else you can find? I think you'll find some other pretty good stuff that will help you, not because I read it, but because I've quoted so many good people, Charles Spurgeon in particular, but also Mr. Gurnall. We'll be doing him pretty regularly now to kind of catch up where we had to leave him behind before. There's other things coming. World Missionary Press is going to be featured regularly on this podcast very soon. I hope you'll want to pay attention to that. Voice of the Martyrs is here. We do a lot of things, and I hope that you'll be paying attention. A lot of special things coming out right now, too. Something comes into my heart that I want to share with God's people. I get at the microphone, and I start talking. Would like to hear from you. Please contact me with questions and comments, if you like, at bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.